Ruthie Foster, welcome to 3CR.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us about your life growing up in Texas singing gospel.
Yeah, gospel music was everywhere where I grew up. So it was kind of a rite of passage to be in a gospel group and growing up in that. So regionally, I traveled quite a bit, even as a kid, singing gospel music. So I've been doing this for a long time.
Wow. And tell us about what it was like in that environment. It must have been so uplifting.
You know, it really was. It was very nurturing, a nurturing community to grow up in. And having wherever I went, it was people were just open and inviting. And you could do no wrong, really. You know, even when I didn't feel like I played well or sang well, I always had those sisters in the amen corner who would definitely validate me, you know, by just going, yes, sister, yes, you sing it. Amen.
What an incredibly nurturing environment indeed. And what great role models you must have had.
Yeah, I think I really did. I lucked out with great parents and a huge family. I come from a family of, well, my mother was one of nine kids, and she was a twin. There's two sets of twins. I grew up with a lot of cousins. I think it was like 20 of us running around. So I was never, even when it came to going to school, I was never by myself. I always had a cousin who was either in the same, you know, class, same grade, the same age growing up. So it's interesting being by myself now. I'm just kind of getting used to that.
Wow. How does that influence your songwriting, getting used to being by yourself?
You know, it's been good for me. It really has. And, you know, even just having this 2-day turnaround after coming off of a weekend tour of 4 days and on the road, I think it's been really good for me to have the quiet time to, you know, I journal and I'm a woman of faith. So I get up and I read scripture and I try to have that quality time with myself. And then I try to just sit and write, you know, write songs, which is what I've been doing all day today. And it's been great.
What have you been writing?
You know, I'm actually writing for other people. It's funny. I don't necessarily write with my own voice in my head. I write with someone else's voice in my head. And lately I've been stuck on my good friend Shamika Copeland. I've been listening to a lot of her discography and trying to see if maybe I can come up with something for her.
Do you find that you write best after you've come off a few days of touring?
Yes. After I've had a few days of just coming down from touring, it's important for me to do that. And I even have one day a week where it is dedicated to nothing but just being good to myself. It's called my bath night, where I don't answer the phone. I don't talk to anyone. I just have that time to myself to give myself that, nurture myself. But after a couple of days, I do get back to just writing, sitting here in my studio right now.
So just out of interest, where were you touring?
I was in Utah for, I think, about 4 days. We had a residency there at one of the theaters in Park City, Utah, at a place called Egyptian Theater. So we had three-night engagement there, and folks came out, and we had a wonderful time.
It's such a beautiful part of the U.S. Many years ago, I was in Utah and went to places like the Zion Canyon. What an inspirational environment for songwriting.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, and I took advantage of that. I started a few songs while I was there. We'll see what comes of them.
Your journey's been fascinating. You were in the U.S. Navy and you were in the Pride Band. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was in the Navy Band Pride. We were stationed in Charleston, South Carolina, and we traveled pretty much throughout the southeast of the United States, along with a few trips outside of the country to, gosh, we went to Iceland and a couple of other places. Basically, wherever our admiral would go, we were his band. And so we did music that was, when you call it, people call it today, is funk and soul. I was a singer for a 7-piece band with horns. And so, yeah, we traveled all over the US doing just songs that you hear on the radio, cover songs. We were a cover song band, and we were pretty good, dance steps and everything.
Amazing. Then when you were finished with the Navy, you went to New York City and went on a bit of a journey there. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, well, that experience was just another level. You know, it was another level as far as learning how to write songs. I got a chance to write with incredible award-winning songwriters who wrote for people like Whitney Houston and Cyndi Lauper and, you name it, because I was associated with a record label, the Atlantic record label. So I had access to write with these incredible people while I was there, and get a chance to play some of the more notable music venues while they were still there. The Bitter End was still there, where people like Bob Dylan and Tracy Chapman, all these people started out. And so I got a chance to really go through a lot of, go, repeat their footsteps and really become a better songwriter is what I used that time for.
You made a tough decision. The industry wanted you to pursue pop songs, yeah, and you decided, no, I'm going to stick to rhythm and blues and roots.
Yeah, they were looking to make me the next Anita Baker, basically. Their version, Atlantic's version of Anita Baker. And I really didn't feel that. I wanted to stay closer to my roots, which was Americana, if you will, just roots music and blues, and as close to gospel as I could get. Yeah, I still do that today.
You really, really do. And you haven't sold out. You have always remained true to yourself. And I had the honor of the first time I was exposed to you was in that wonderful documentary, Invisible, about queer women in Nashville. And, you know, there was a great moment where you basically talked about how you've always been true to yourself as an artist. That seems to be something that has really guided you.
Yeah, and I think it comes from having a background of incredibly strong women in my family. My grandmother was a huge influence on me, who always kept me on the ground, so to speak. She would bring me back to what's real and what matters to me when I would feel a little stranded and kind of beside myself and not sure what to do with big decisions that were happening in my young life. And my mother was a really strong woman and still is in my heart. And I feel like I sing for her now in some way, because that was something she wanted to do with her life. She wanted to sing. She wanted to be a singer. So I think that strong woman background comes from growing up around women who were strong and nurturing to whatever road I decided to walk down. Even, when just telling my family that, I'm gay and I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna do this my way, and they all support me to this day. Everybody supports me and what I have to say, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is to be backed by your family in that way.
And of course, you give back to the community by being a role model in the music industry as a queer woman.
I do my best.
You mentioned how your family's given you this great sense of certainty and kind of faith, really, to walk the path of life. That must give you a lot of strength at this current juncture in the US where there's so much uncertainty. From your perspective as a queer black woman, what's the mood like in the United States at the moment?
Yeah, it's pretty volatile. It's a delicate place to be right now, for sure. But I'm not going to let that scare me. I've been in situations that were not necessarily. It's not in a place where you're unsafe. I can't say personally I've been in that particular environment where I'm faced with that. But it's definitely. We're definitely in a place where you do want to always be aware of where you are, but never back down. I never back down. I have no issues with who I am and what I have to say and what room I walk into. I'm going to be who I am and be proud of that because I've overcome worse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that must come out in your songwriting.
I hope it does, you know, and that's part of why I try to be true to what I say in my songs, even while I'm writing. I try to just be true to who, and I'm very aware of my fans and people who do love to hear what I have to say. And being an older, you know, an elder, really, I can say, in this community, I think it's important for me to know what it is I have to say and to always be aware of what I'm saying and just be true and to remind people who are up and coming in this industry to never back down and just be who you are because ain't nobody else going to be that for you.
You won a Grammy for your album Mileage for Best Contemporary Blues Album. That must have been an amazing experience when they read your name out.
Yeah, I still relive that. Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I was sitting here in my living room and looking at the statue. It's a nice add to my living room, by the way. And I was staring at it because it's right next to my TV, and I was watching a movie, and I was watching Elvis. That's what I was watching, the new Elvis movie. And then my eyes went over to that Grammy, and I realized, wow. Look at that. That is a validation. It really was to hear my name said at the award ceremony. And I actually wasn't there, but I did get a chance to watch the televised edition of it.
Wow, where were you?
I was on my way back from a blues cruise. I was on a blues cruise during the ceremony, and I was in an airport in Houston, Texas, sitting at a bar, me and my tour manager. She pulled out her phone so we could watch the rest of the ceremony, and we caught it just in time to see my name announced, sitting at the bar in an airport, in a Houston airport.
Wow. And you must have, I mean, what was the moment like? I mean, how did your stomach feel?
I was nervous. I wasn't nervous until they announced that particular category because we saw where Taj Mahal, they announced the traditional blues category and I saw Taj. And Taj actually did go back to be at the ceremony because he was on the boat too. He was on this cruise. And I realized then, oh man, I should have probably made an effort to be there. But then, as they announced the commercial music, contemporary blues award, and they announced me as a nominee, you know, along with my friend Shamika and Joe Bonamassa, and I'm thinking, oh. I'm not going to get this. So I just ordered another drink. And as the drink was coming, I heard my name. And you know, people at the bar knew too. We were telling folks, "Oh, we're watching a Grammy," you know, and Ruthie's up for a Grammy, and we all exploded when we we heard my name. But I do remember feeling, "Oh my gosh, I've done it now. I don't know what's going to happen now."
Out of interest, where was the blues cruise? Like, where did that go?
I think it was in the, it may have been the Bahamas, but it goes to different places. It was a Caribbean cruise that I was on. Yeah.
Wow. And you mentioned how, wow, where's this going to go once you actually were announced as the winner? It must make a difference, right? It must change the path of your career winning a Grammy.
Yeah, it changes a few things. If anything, it's just so it's validating and your name is out there, you know, as a Grammy winner. It definitely changes the light in the room. I'll just say that. The light gets a little brighter. And I still remember hearing from relatives I hadn't talked to in a long time. So I got phone calls from people I hadn't heard from in a long time. So that was kind of nice.
You are coming to Australia. You are touring Australia. You will be here later in April. What can we expect in your shows?
Oh, you can expect me and my buddy Scotty Miller, who's going to be playing with me. So I'll be a duo for the most part. Scotty plays keyboards, piano. And I think he's even going to open a few shows for me. And then my band comes down towards the end of my tour, and we will be playing around parts of Melbourne and all over. And so you're going to hear a lot of music that is from the Grammy Award-winning album, Mileage, as well as music from as far back as at least 6-7 CDs, you know, 6-7 releases. I'm going to do as much music as I possibly can. Little blues, little soul, definitely a lot of Ruthie. I'm just going to bring myself to the table.
Wow. So I imagine there's going to be some acoustic guitar and some really big band sounds.
Yeah. In fact, I have a special guitar that was gifted to me. It's an Australian made guitar by Cole Clark, and is a special guitar because it plays acoustic and it has pickups in it, so it's has ability to sound like an electric guitar as well. So I'll be showing off that guitar while I'm down there.
Wow, and you're an amazing guitar player as well. Sounds like your fingers are really going to be working during this tour.
Oh, they've already started, honey. My fingers are working right now.
Fantastic. Ruthie Foster, can't wait to see you in Australia. Thank you so much for joining us today on Radio 3CR.
You are so welcome. Thanks for having me.
3CR.